heard on great radio stations all across America. It's The National Defense with Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry.
The National Defense is made possible by Ford. Go further. By The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. And by Subway. The Reuben is back for a limited time at Subway. Savory corned beef, crunchy sauerkraut, melty Swiss, creamy Thousand Island dressing, toasted rye. Subway. So much Reuben.
This is the National Defense, Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry. And Jerry, as always, our dedication.
Hey, this show's for you, the men and women serving in our military. It's for the millions of veterans out there and for all their families. We're here for you. We love you. God bless you.
Happy Veterans Day.
Thank you.
Yes.
I appreciate that.
You know what? It's almost Veterans Day all the time on this show. I mean, it feels like it's Veterans Day.
Yeah.
Because we're always trying to let you know what people are doing for veterans and talking about things that some people only talk about on Veterans Day.
Yeah, and Veterans Day should be every day of the year.
Exactly.
Once a year, but it's appreciated.
Well, and I got to tell you, Jerry, there's nobody better to be on a Veterans Day show than somebody from the Home Depot Foundation.
Oh my God.
Because they're involved with everything. I mean, it seems like every show that we do, every organization that we talk to.
I had no idea.
Me neither.
Until they came aboard.
That's right.
I mean, there's not any project or any initiative that Home Depot isn't, the foundation isn't involved in.
Especially with veterans, yeah. And so this is great. We got Joe Wimberly back in the show from the Home Depot Foundation, and he is the big guru, too, for their celebration of service. Joe, how are you?
Fantastic, team. How are you?
Great. Listen, this is it's great to have you on and have somebody from Home Depot Foundation to talk about the work you do, because it's everybody else that we talk to. It's always propping up the Home Depot Foundation, because you guys really are involved with just about every great veterans organization, aren't you?
Thank you. And we're certainly humbled by it. I mean, we have to thank you guys as well for all the great work that you do to reinforce the love for our nation's veterans. And we're just thankful to have the opportunity to be serving them the way that they made the choice to serve us. So it's a very humbling experience for us. It's something we don't take lightly. With 35,000 of our associates being veterans, it's something that's very personal to us. And because of that, we take every dollar, every ounce of energy, every single second seriously, and we make, hopefully, a tremendous impact for our nation's veterans.
Hey, Joe, as a manager of projects, I mean, you know, just read that. It might not sound like a lot, but we know better. As manager of project, you must be running 12 hours a day, yeah. I mean, 7 days a week. Yeah.
Indeed. We do. So during our Celebration of Service campaign, it runs roughly 972 Veterans Day every year. Just in that window, our stores complete. This year will be over 600 projects.
Wow.
And it's truly remarkable. And I really have to give credit to our associates. Our values of giving back at the Home Depot has just created such a great culture to where on our days off, our associates decide to invest their time into tackling projects for our veterans. And it happens all year round. But during celebrations of service, especially as we culminate with Veterans Day, they tend to ramp it up and do even more projects for our veterans. And it's an awesome thing to step back and see. And I have to also just thank our partners, our nonprofit partners that we work with across the U.S., like Semper Fi Fund, Volunteers of America.
Yeah.
There's so many connect us with those veterans who need some help and allow us to step in and tackle some home repairs or all sorts of other projects.
Well, and this is the 7th annual Celebration of Service. So, you guys have been at this a long time and plan to continue this with, I think it's $500 million that has been pledged by Home Depot through the year 2020 for veterans organizations.
But half a billion
dollars. Wow. Pledge. I mean, so you guys just don't do it, with your arms and legs. you break out the wallet, too. And that is so appreciated by so many organizations, Joe. You did say one thing, though, that I don't know that I knew before. Was that 35,000 veterans work for Home Depot?
Yes, sir. We also have quite a few. I think it's the last number I heard was around 2,000 active duty as well. And that's when we started our mission back in 2011. We started with like a, call it a $30 million commitment to veterans.
Right.
And that just, it grew every single year. And has continued to grow as we understand the needs even more as our associates and the Home Depot gets more and more passionate and excited about helping and supporting our veterans. And to date, we're not quite at half a billion. We're a $250 million commitment to veteran-related causes by 2020. And happy to say we're actually at the $213 million mark. And that's
it's incredible. Know, when you start with $30 million.
Yeah.
wow.
And that's in direct contrast. Let's face it. We still have people who are dying in Afghanistan.
Right.
We have people dying in other parts of the world, tragically.
Yep.
Service members. They're deployed all over the world, but they're not in the forefront of the news most of the time.
Right.
So, you know, public interest in, unfortunately, public concern, congressional concern, that's waning to a degree, but in direct contrast,
right.
Home Depot Foundation is committing $500 million.
Well, $250 million.
Quarter of a billion.
Yeah.
Hey, it's potato. Yeah. You know, when you're talking that kind of money.
Exactly.
And that's absolutely right. And our support is just very diverse. We have a few strategic pillars that we work through and work on, as, for example, supporting our catastrophically wounded veterans and building smart homes for them so they can live a long life independently, focusing on our homeless veteran population. And we need to get them housed. And it's not cheap or easy, but that doesn't mean we're not going to do what we can to help support that and to get those veterans housed. And then, you know, we also have wonderful medical advances with today. And so we have everyone living, thankfully, longer. And so we have a growing senior population. Well, naturally, that means we have, you know, a lot of veterans.
Right.
Who are needing to age in place or wanting to age in place. And so we do a lot of projects and we're funding a lot of great partnerships with organizations who are making a great impact in those spaces. And then many others. We know that there's, you know, VFWs and American Legions, there's Veteran Memorial Gardens, all these spaces and places touch the lives of our veterans and mean so much to them. And so we support those elements and projects as well a lot through our Team Depot program.
And you were talking about your associates a few minutes ago. They give up their own time voluntarily. This isn't like in the military when you say,
right.
We need you to donate to United Way, and you will donate. Otherwise, you're going to get extra duty. I need a volunteer.
Right. You're right. Right.
You know,
exactly.
You don't line them up and say you will volunteer.
No, not at all. It's 100% passion-driven program. It's that beautiful thing that, literally just doesn't make sense on paper, and that's why we love it. It's because of the culture and the values of our company that they want to go and tackle projects for veterans. And in fact, my team manages a program where we essentially say, listen, if you, on your day off, you want to go build a wheelchair ramp for a veteran, we will find a nonprofit partner and we will provide the funding for you to do that. If your heart, passion, and the skill set is there to go do that and to serve your community and serve our veterans, let's take every obstacle we can out of the way so you can go serve your heart and give back to our veterans.
Well, Randy, didn't you help secure a wheelchair ramp?
Yeah, yeah. You know, we're based here in Kansas City, Missouri, with the show, and there was somebody in Kansas that got in touch with us and needed a wheelchair ramp built and just went right to the Team Depot, and they had it done, I don't know, Jerry, was within a month.
Yeah, it was quick.
Yeah, yeah, it was very quick. And that was great, Joe, to see that in action. You know, the other thing that I like about the Home Depot Foundation and what you guys do, we're talking to Joe Wimberly, the Foundation's Manager of Projects and Celebration of Service guru. But what I like about what you guys do, it doesn't have to, because we've had a lot of these organizations on the show that talk about what they've done along with your help. And it's not you do work alongside some of the biggest nonprofits, but it doesn't have to be a big group. I mean, there are some very small
community-based
organizations. Yeah. And you guys, unlike a lot of other companies that are just in it for the photo op or to link alongside a giant organization, I want to give you a lot of credit for just really it's helping wherever it's needed.
Yeah, and a good example of that is the Meals on Wheels. Texas,
absolutely. Yes,
you know,
building a house,
yeah. And
that's great.
Making sure the seniors get fed. It's amazing.
So it's not the size of the organization for you guys, is it?
No, sir. I mean, you're absolutely right, and that's what we feel empowers our associates to, you know, do these projects on their day off, is that we let them know, like, you know your community way better than we will sitting here in Atlanta. So you know those local organizations who are fantastic, who are out there supporting our veterans, who can maybe bring more to the table than only the Home Depot Foundation can bring to the table in terms of assisting them, as to your point around bringing meals. And so that's where, you know, we empower associates to say, you know, again, you know your community, so let's connect with great local partners and serve the needs of our veterans, as diverse as they may be.
Well, I'd sure like to have opportunity to shake your hand someday, Joe.
Absolutely, man.
Well, ditto.
Hey, Joe, let me ask you this, and I don't know how good your memory is, but you talked about 600 projects this year. Can you give us one of the smaller ones and one of the larger ones as an example?
Absolutely. I mean, we literally as of last week just got funding out the door for a World War II veteran, Mr. Adderley. He's down in Miami, Army veteran. We're grateful for the opportunity to be able to serve a World War II veteran. But you can imagine, you know, moving independently in his home is not easy. And so there's a whole host of projects around updating the bathroom, installing grab bars, taking care of just some of the daily work that needs to be done on a home, doing some landscaping, maybe making that landscaping low maintenance so it doesn't require as much work, installing new flooring so you can get from, you know, room A to room B without having to worry about thresholds or anything like that. Mm. So that project's actually happening, I believe it's next week, if memory serves.
Wow.
And these projects continue to happen as we lead into Veterans Day, and even after Veterans Day, we're already getting lots of other great requests from our nonprofits and our stores who are saying, just because Veterans Day is, you know, happening in a couple days doesn't mean we're going to stop our great work.
Well, we're gonna stop our great work for a second because we're gonna take a quick break. But when come back, I'm gonna discuss some specific things and how people can help and then can get some help from the Home Depot Foundation right here on the National Defense. Welcome back to the National Defense, Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry, and what a great Veterans Day weekend program when we're talking about the Home Depot Foundation and how they help veterans, because they do it every single day of the year. And Joe Wimberly is with us, the Foundation's Manager of Projects, and talking about the celebration of service, the 7th celebration of service. You talk about a commitment,
well,
Jerry.
Well, you know what, Randy? What the heck would we talk about every week?
I mean,
think
really,
about it.
Exactly.
We'd have a lot of holes to plug.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you for giving us a show and things to talk about. I mean, man, it does. It seems every single week we're talking about the Home Depot Foundation. So why don't we find out? So first of all, how can people help the foundation?
So we've got a couple ways. We've got a couple programs on Home Depot Foundation on our website that folks can check out around what they can do and how we empower our communities to jump in and serve our veterans. A couple things specifically that we're doing during Celebration of Service, and we'll continue on. We actually created a hashtag, hashtag Choose to Serve. About is creating awareness around, you know, you don't always need, you know, a dollar from the Home Depot Foundation, and kind of taking that kind of random acts of kindness approach and focusing in on serving our veterans. There's just so many small things that folks can do that have such a big impact. You know, as I mentioned, you know, Mr. Adderley, our World War II veteran serving next week. You know, just neighbors coming in and taking care of the leaves, although there's not many leaves down in Miami, but it's a bad example. But things like that go such a long way and make such a big impact. And so we want to not just, you know, leverage the amazing hearts of our associates, but leverage the hearts of our nation.
I got one for you right now that we talked to last week and had no idea that Home Depot was involved. But War Horses for Veterans.
Oh, yeah.
We had them on last week, and they have an equine therapy thing.
They're having a big big deal coming up, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah, their big 5K run coming up next week. But I mean, that's the thing. You know, we had no idea, and then they just happened to mention during the course of the interview that Home Depot had donated $10,000 and actually went out there with their team members and built a fence.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
Man, I mean, we had no idea.
Yeah, so, that's why I say at the end of the day, there's our associates and our hearts to thank, but there's also our nonprofit partners. Because at the end of the day, you can have a focus and a mission and a goal of serving our veterans, but without, that team camaraderie and that teamwork, it just simply can't get done. So we have to thank all those folks as well who allow us to provide the opportunities for us to give back.
And Joe, just quickly on the Choose to Serve hashtag, what do people do with that?
Yeah, so going online, just do hashtag Choose to Serve. And what we're looking for them to do is post a picture of them serving veterans. The idea is to create that organic growth and momentum around the nation serving our veterans. So hopefully their post encourages someone else to pick up a rake or go take out the trash or whatever they can do to serve their veterans. I think veterans in their community. I think the other half of that too is recognizing the fact that our veterans they're your neighbors. They're everywhere, and there's so much opportunity around that. So a little bit of twofold ROI, if you will, off of that, but all for our veterans.
Hey, Randy, come over and rake my leaves. I'll take your picture.
I knew where you were going with that. Again? Hey, Joe, listen, thank you so much for what you guys are doing. Thank you for the time today. And we just really can't tell you how much we appreciate the Home Depot Foundation.
Well, thank you, team. I appreciate all the great work you guys are doing as well, and I appreciate you helping us get the story out.
Thanks. We'll be right back here in National Defense.
The National Defense is made possible by ADT Security. For over 150 years, your first line of defense.
Welcome back to the National Defense, Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry. And Jerry, I got to tell you, I'm so excited about this weekend, Veterans Day weekend, for the simple fact that there is a great documentary that's going to be released this weekend called No Greater Love. First theatrical documentary, and I was surprised by this, filmed by an active duty soldier. That is the very first one, and it premieres this weekend, shot in Afghanistan, a place that you know a lot about. In fact, I think you were there maybe during some of this filming because you were there embedded with the troops.
In fact, with the 101st.
Yeah, with the 101st, that's right.
With a medevac crew at that time. Kunar, I was in Kunar in 2006 in Korngal Valley.
Yeah, that's right.
And I embedded in Iraq with 101st.
Yep.
And of course, I'm a former Screaming Eagle too. So
that's right. That's right.
Yeah. So this has a natural attraction for me.
Absolutely.
It's close to my heart, and I can tell you this is going to be very powerful.
Well, even just I've just seen the trailer, but man, it really looks great. It's called No Greater Love. The guy behind it is Chaplain Justin Roberts. He's with us right now. Chaplain, how are you?
I'm doing good, guys. I'm actually walking through a New York train station.
Wow. Really? Really?
Yes, sir.
Well,
I'm really glad to be able to connect with you guys.
Well, we're really excited about this. And are you kind of surprised that this is the first ever documentary or film done by an active duty troops?
You know what? The first one in combat, because I think in part we've never had the equipment to be able to do this on the fly. And so, that's part of an issue, but also, a person having the ability, to do that is kind of rare too. Cause usually, our guys are having to, carry a gun. or some sort of weapon.
Right.
And I was an Army chaplain, and so whenever I was, getting ready to deploy, I was like, well, I'm going to go on these missions with the guys, but what am I going to be carrying? And chaplains aren't allowed to carry weapons, so I asked my commander if I could carry a camera. And he said, sure, just don't get shot. And I said,
yeah. Yeah.
Well, right. Well, here's the thing. Chaplains, normally you find them back on the FOBs.
Yeah.
And there you are running around Kunar.
Right.
You know, there's actually a reason for this. And so back in 2009, when I first arrived with my unit, we had quite a few suicides. You know, one on my second day on the job, then another a week later, then another one, and then another one. And we also had a weekly suicide attempts or gestures every single week for the first 6 months.
Oh, wow.
And so This was a struggle, very real struggle that we were facing. But we were able to turn it around. And what we figured out was it was the brotherhood. It was relationship that was effective at combating suicide, you know, but we had to be intentional about it. We had to start connecting and we had to, you know, get those relationships going. So what I focused on was just making sure I was connecting with every single platoon. And when I was getting ready to go out, you know, on the deployment, I stopped and talked to one of my mentors, First Sergeant Randy Wright, who's now Command Sergeant Major Wright, and asked him how I should go about the deployment. And he said, you know, if you really want to connect with the guys, go out with each platoon at least once on a patrol and be near the front during major operations. So I wasn't trying to hot dog it. What I was trying to do was actually connect, you know, because for us, if we didn't connect, then people could potentially kill themselves.
Right.
And wow. So this was actually, for me, it was mission critical to be connecting as much as possible. And so that's why I was running around.
Wow. Well, and yeah. You know, you got the camera out there. I mean, you talk about some responsibilities, right? I mean, you're serving as a chaplain, and so you're that lifeline between these men. And now you've taken on the additional responsibility. Well, maybe I'll go ahead and make a movie out of this. And, I mean, that's...
Well, you know what? It didn't start off as a movie. It was like I wanted to capture some of the moments of the war. And I didn't know how the deployment was going to turn out, but what happened was whenever you have some buddies and, you know, these are your friends, and then they start doing amazing, courageous, selfless actions that, you know, amaze, you know, everybody else around you.
Right.
You kind of like, you don't want that to be forgotten.
Sure. Yeah.
And that kept happening, you know, just story after story. You know, we had one guy who got shot in the head, rolled 10 stories down a mountain, and luckily the bullet didn't puncture his skull, but, you know, the PJs were able to rescue him and get him out of there. Well, he then returned to us 6 months later to, you know, become the lead platoon leader in one of the lead elements in one of the largest battles of the Afghan war.
Wow.
I mean, that guy is incredible. And, you know, that inspired me, so I was like, that's a story that needs to be told.
Yeah, let's talk about what the 101st accomplished in 2010 to 2011.
And this is the No Yes, sir. Slack Battalion, right?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And the 327th is a storied unit. From my days in Vietnam, I can tell you. But the 101st in that year, they were... I think probably in contact more than any other unit had been or has been to this point. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was a very kinetic deployment.
And Kunar Province, for those that don't know, is you know, I like tell a story about like the Korangal. Russians went in there with a division and limped out with less than a battalion. Kunar is a very bad place.
Well, and even in the trailer for No Greater Love, they talk about going into a place where the Russians didn't even go. You know,
yeah. They were
the first ones in there. Chaplain, where did the title come from?
Well, you know, it came from two different places. First is what I saw from every single story that is covered in this film, and some of these are you know, I mean, stories of amazing valor, and some of them are amazing sacrifice. But behind both of those kinds of stories, the common denominator is always a selfless love. And the guys wouldn't articulate it that way, but what I saw, you know, when I did the interviews as well, is like when they broke it down, they were always doing it because they loved the soldiers that they were serving with. And that's why they were willing to commit, you know, put their lives on the line, commit those acts of courage, and some of them even willing to give up their lives. And so that is no selfless, you know, no greater love. And there's a scripture in John 15:13 that says, no greater love has any man than this, that he's willing to lay his life down for his friend.
Right.
And I was like, you know, before, you know, when I was in seminary, I was like, that's a very, you know, beautiful theological concept. You know, it's a beautiful idea.
Right.
But these guys were making it flesh and blood in front of me.
Yeah. And they so, the flag and apple pie and hamburgers and pizza and all that stuff go out the window. That's not what it's about. It's about taking care of your buddy.
Yeah, and one of the most powerful. I mean, obviously, you're gonna in this movie, you're gonna see some incredible once in a lifetime footage. But some of these interviews that you did, do you think it was because also that you are a chaplain that you were able to draw so much. Really in-depth comments from...
Yeah, they were able to unload their emotions.
Right.
Yeah. You know what? I think it's because we're friends.
Yeah.
There you go.
And you know what? I mean, and the chaplain, at the end of the day, I mean, he is the only kind of guy who should be and can be a friend with a person who's a private or a person who's a general.
Right.
And that's the relationship that we should have, you know, with our soldiers. But, you know, this. I, when people tell me what this documentary is about, usually what I tell them is it's about my friends. I mean, it's about guys that I really respected and love, and this is just them telling their stories.
Well, and it comes out this weekend. It's called No Greater Love, and don't for any second think that this is any kind of a second class quality, second class anything. It's amazing. You guys have been to all these film festivals, and you've swept them. I mean, virtually swept them.
If there's
11 awards across the country and in the UK, and
congratulations.
If you're not moved by this,
right?
If this doesn't do something, if you don't feel something deep in your chest,
right?
And if you can keep a dry eye, then man, I'm telling you, then there's something wrong with you.
But you know what? What I love about it is this: is that
It's honest.
You're going to be it's honest. It's real. It's their stories. I just tried to get out of the way, but what I was trying to make a film about was how they inspired me. And at the end of the day, you're going to walk away inspired and proud, you know, to be an American. You know, I say in the film, it's like, I understood America so much more in the mountaintops of Afghanistan than I do here, because over there, people were willing to, from different backgrounds, races, and religions, were willing to come together and be willing to die for one another. And over here, it seems like, you know, we're willing to kill each other over minor differences.
Right.
But over there, the guys understood what America should be about. And if we can bring that home during one of the times when our nation is divided more than anything else, if we can bring that home, then you know what? I think that we'll achieve what they were fighting for.
And let's talk about some of the soldiers, some of the Joes.
Yes, sir.
Intense, the 327th, it was intense. These soldiers, a lot of wounded, KIAs, then they come home.
Mm-hmm.
And I know from personal experience, you go through something like that, and then you come home, and it's like, I'm having a hard time dealing with, there's no adrenaline rush. There's no friends like I had over there.
I got no mission.
I'm out here kind of alone.
Yeah. And it's a tough transition. And that's a conversation that we need to be having as a country right now. how do we come home from this war?
Right.
You know, and this war's not even over. You know,
yeah.
But it's now America's longest war, and we've not really figured out how to do this properly yet. I mean, with 20 plus suicides per day, you know, in
right.
the veteran population,
right?
You know, 10% of our prison systems that people are entering in are veterans. You know, we need to have a national discussion about this, and it can't be just veterans talking about this.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, we can't fix the veteran issue unless, you know, the veteran issues are at least brought into the top five issues that we're discussing as a country. And right now, we're not even in the top 10.
No, we're not talking about it.
No.
No. And so if we really do want to reduce veteran suicides, if we really wanted to reduce these problems and issues, this has to become a national discussion that's prioritized. And that's our only shot at really addressing these issues.
And what makes me really angry is, like you said, we haven't dealt with what we have to deal with now, but yet there are people out there beating their chest and talking about, hey, you know, we can get into another war.
Yeah, right.
Well, you're not taking care of the consequences from what you...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not even keeping our promises to our veterans yet.
Exactly.
And we've been at this for a very long time. And so we need to start, as a country, start fulfilling those promises before we start looking to toss them into another fight.
Hey, the documentary is called No Greater Love, and we'll be back to talk about it right after this on The National Defense. Welcome back to The National Defense. Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry and Chaplain Justin Roberts is the driving force behind the documentary coming out this weekend, No Greater Love. And Justin is with us now.
So you're a chaplain, and you know I'm not a religious person, but your faith in God, I'm sure it provides you with some inner strength, something for you to fall back on, but... Yet you were there, you experienced it too, and then you came home. So talk to us a little bit how you confronted coming home and how you faced the challenges.
It's tough, and I would say, like, first off, like, most of our guys aren't too religious or churchy. That's kind of the norm. And so whenever I would first get into a unit, I would tell my guys, like, look, y'all are all a bunch of heathens, but you're my heathen. And we're going to do this war together. And I mean, the biggest thing is that people understand, you know, that you love them. And that's where we have to start. And I think that's where we have to kind of come to. It takes love to fight a war. It takes love to commit acts of courage and valor, and it takes love to come home. And that's what I had to have too. I thought that I was going to be cool and groovy about, you know, coming through everything and all those experiences because I'm the chaplain.
Yeah.
Of course, you're not going to deal with PTSD or anything. And I was wrong. I mean, like, you know, I went through depression and had a lot of trouble sleeping, nightmares. And it, you know what? It didn't come from the combat and all that kind of stuff. What it came from was, like, not being able to get to one of our guys when they were dying. Mm. And no matter what we did, we couldn't get to them.
Yeah.
And I struggled with that for a long while, you know, because I was able to pray over the wounded and dying, you know, in several other missions. But this one time, I wasn't able to.
Mm.
And I felt so guilty for that, not being able to be there with him because he was a friend. And, you know, he was an Army medic who was almost at almost all of my Bible studies, even though I don't know if he was religious or not, but I just knew him. So, we all struggle with it. But, you know, I had an amazing wife, and, you know, I'm still going through that transition, though.
Sure.
So I don't want to, like paint a perfect picture, you know, but you know, what I will say makes it better is whenever you do have some brothers and sisters that you're connected to, man, that makes a world of difference.
Sure. And Chaplain, I want to ask you about this too. And again, we were talking about the documentary, No Greater Love, that is coming out this weekend. So you didn't really have a lot of experience in filmmaking before this, right?
No, you know, my second master's is in media arts and communication, but I had never made a movie before. And once we had the footage, I knew we had a story that we needed to put together.
Right.
I didn't know how to put it together, but I knew we had the story that we needed to put together. So I went on that long journey to start, you know, bringing it to the theaters. That's another movie.
Oh my gosh. I can't even imagine, but
yeah. I mean, you ever see that TV show Beverly Hillbillies?
Yeah. it was a lot like that, huh?
It was a lot like that. That is very metaphorical.
Well, let me tell you, you know, you did something right because, it's in theaters this weekend. It's called No Greater Love. Thank you so much for your service, and thank you for bringing this.
I want to tell you something that not a lot of people are tracking about this, but at the end of the film, we have a promotion that will allow audiences to donate to support their local veteran charities.
Oh, I love
it. And national ones. Yes, and so like this coming Veterans Day, a way that veterans, active duty military, and civilians can actually come together and make a difference is if they come see this film, and at the end of it, if they're so inspired, they can actually go to our website, you know, that's promoted at the very end of the film, and donate to support a local veteran charity. And I think that's the way we can actually make a difference this coming Veterans Day.
That's great. That's great. Well, thank you so much. Thanks for the time. We really appreciate it, and I can't wait to see it.
Welcome home.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back here next week with a brand new edition of the National Defense.